rather late this morning, so let's just pray for about 30 seconds and ask God to direct everything that he wants to say into the time that we have left. And God can say a lot in a short period of time, and we want to be sensitive to the rest of this day. And I want you to stand, and we're going to believe the winds of God to blow this morning. I preached a sermon last week called I Believe in Miracles. And the winds of heaven, they blow. And I believe this morning that there'll be certain things in this word of God to you, and certain breezes and certain winds will blow on different people in certain ways. So I want you to make a conscious decision this morning that you want to hear what God would say to you. And there's one thing God wants to say to all of us, and he'll say that by his grace. But he wants to say certain things to individuals also. So you do have that right to open up your heart and say, Father, let the wind of God blow upon me, and take that which you would say to me, and what you would emphasize to me, and be willing to be alone with God as you hear the word of God this morning. Father in heaven, we just ask your grace and mercy, heavenly love and holy love of Jesus Christ. May you just fill this room this morning. May the holy, holy love of God come upon everyone, Jesus, and may every eye see you in a more real way and see themselves as an intimate and an integral part of the Son of Man. And oh, holy, holy God, may your spirit blow now. For it is not by might, and it is not by any power, or anything that I can do, or anything that we can do, but it is by the Holy Spirit of God that you will build this church and you will have your way in the earth. So now, Lord, I commit this whole time into you. Feed me with what is appropriate for the hour. In the name of Jesus, amen. I wanted to read one thing as I was leaving this morning. And I gave a testimony a number of weeks ago about God baptizing me and fusing me with this work of God. How I came out of the prayer room when Don was teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. As I went and laid hands on him, I found myself fused. Now, I preached being fused, and I said being fused, but I was fused in that hour. And I found myself fused to the word of the Lord that had come unto him. And I became fused to the vision of God for our body. In that very moment, I knew I had the experience of being in that place. And since that time, everything has been different. Now, this camp meeting has been another thing for me. And that is, in this fusion, it has now turned into feasting. In other words, that I have been feasting upon the Lord and everyone that comes up here to minister, and just feasting on Jesus Christ. It has been the happiest, most joyful experience I've ever had in a camp meeting, of feasting upon sometimes it's been so dazzling, so brilliant, so beautiful, just Jesus coming through you. And I just said, Lord, I want to lose myself and the promotion of this dazzling beauty, just get more people and more people and more people so I can see you there and see you there and see you there. It's been a feast. It's been a continual feast before God for me. Now, I read this as I was leaving. I don't know how I found it. I was laying on my desk somehow. I said, proud men would be admired by all and preferred above all. And if it be not so, a secret enmity invadeth their spirits and settle up itself. Men cannot endure the real or reputed excellency of others. The proud creature would shine alone. And in this hour, God is bringing down all of that. There's going to be no proud creature, and no one's going to shine alone. There's a path that the devil makes after him in the book of Job, and the proud find that path. But it is not the shine of heaven. It is not that celestial glow. It is not the light that Nikki preached about, the lamp within of Jesus Christ. And I feel that God would use this message, and I said this for this reason, because you might think I'm just preaching about one man. And this is one man, and a few people come to this place. But as I realize so significantly that God is speaking to this church as one man, and there will be some that burst the womb first. But the whole church will boast the room first among churches. And you need to move into that vision. The name of the sermon this morning is From Gilgal to Beyond the Jordan and the Double Portion. 2 Kings chapter 2. We're going to talk about a man this morning who had a passion for God. We're going to talk about a man who was willing to go a little bit further, had a vision to go a little bit more, to see his God do yet more of himself in the earth. And that passion consumed him, and it took him from Gilgal, and it took him over the Jordan, until a double portion came upon him. And we speak of Elisha this morning in 2 Kings chapter 2. Now, who Elisha is can be seen by the meaning of his name. Now, we might start slow, but God's Spirit's going to blow. And God's going to talk to some of you. And the heart of God's going to hit some of you. And God's going to light a fire under your feet this day by His grace. And you're going to see the divine possibility of your life being baptized into the Son of Man and the receiving of that portion from His Father to bring forth the mercy and compassion and love that God feels for every human being. And you're not going to be willing to sit idly by and hit blind Bartimaeus. You're not going to sit idly by where Lazarus lies in the tomb. And you're not going to sit idly by as the beggars lie on the side of the road. There's going to be something in you that knows the Father in this hour. And God's going to visit you that He might visit them, that He might have them. And they might dazzle too in Jesus' life. Now, Elisha means God is salvation. God is salvation. I'm not going to contrast the ministries. We don't have time between Elijah and Elisha. One commentator, I think it's one concordance, says that his name means God of supplication and the God of riches. Now, I spoke last week on the willingness and the readiness of Almighty God to give of His love. How God aches and longs and is willing and ready to give His love. How He longs for it. And I didn't emphasize our part all the way, except that we moved some legalism from your eyes about Him. But this morning we're going to look at man's part. And that name, God of supplication. The man who cries out unto God to see God visit the scene. To see God do something that only God can do, because He knows unless God does it, nothing will be done. The man who has been baptized into that truth, not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit, my God, and you shall move. God of riches, or God of supplication. And these riches are in the hands of God, and in the hands of the Son of Man, to give forth into His church, and to give forth through His church to the world. But first, there needs to be Elisha's. Now, this is a man who believed in miracles. A man who had a passion to see God pour out His love. So he became a man of supplication. If you trace the etymology of this word further, it means a hello. That's an interesting word. It was to me when I looked at it too. A hello. And it means to incite or chase something with shouts and cries of hello for help. Freedom from some trouble. In other words, there's a man who knew that there was trouble. He knew that there was distress. And there was a man who hallooed unto Almighty God, inciting him as it were, crying out as it were, giving his whole being as it were, into the Father to bring forth through the Son that help that was needed. The word, and if you look at further, as it was used to incite dogs in hunting. So it wasn't a passive thing. It was a man who was consumed with a passion. Doesn't mean that passion of itself will do anything and you can try to get there, puts by the Spirit. But the heart of it and the ache of it and God putting it in you is what He wants to do. For that thing is in you. For you see His heart and you see them. Hallelujah! Now, let's look at this man. Chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now, Elijah was leaving. He was leaving. And Elisha knew enough that this man was one of the few men that knew God. That knew God for who God really is. Remember that Father over the face of the deep? That hovering, that love, he knew that. And he knew God's readiness and willingness to heal and to love and to bless and to meet the needs of people. So he had that within him. And now Elijah was gone. And in Elisha's mind, God was going too. In Elisha's mind, God was going too. When some of the apostles left, there wasn't an Elisha left. Just to realize that if one man leaves, God might leave too. There's been many, many, many centuries of God leaving because there haven't been men who would trouble themselves at the tomb, as it were, like Jesus did, to see them out of death. And they were bound in a Calvinism, and also, like Paula said, not realizing, and many of us have said it, that God wants you and you, and He can have you for that purpose. If you care. Now, Elijah was leaving. The state of the nation was still one of general infidelity and idolatry. Now, Elisha knew that God was with him, and he wanted God to be with him, or there's going to stay that way. See, things are going to stay that way unless somebody troubles himself. Now, you know the verse, famous verse. Verse 14, you see his heart. Many preachers have thundered this out. Verse 14, this was in him before he asked the question and before this was, you know, manifested and it came. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Not where is Elijah. It's not where is William Branham. It's not where is Catherine Coleman. It's not where is this person. Where is R.A. Torrey? Where is Charles Finney? Where is this man? It is where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is that God? There is no man but God. I told you, there's a class and then there's a class. You know what I mean? There's us and then there's him. That's about it. We'll be under him. That's about it. Okay. Now, let's look at this man. Verse 2 and verse 4, we see one key phrase. Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. I will not leave where the revelation and the knowledge of the Father is in your life. I will not leave until the same thing is mine. I will not leave you, your teaching, your ministry, what God has revealed to you and who God has manifested himself to be through you. I will not leave that. I will not leave that. Others may leave that, and others will, but you and I can't. Read this, verse 4, same thing. Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry, I pray thee, the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Now you're thinking Elijah would say, yeah, come on, we need another prophet in Israel. You are the prophet in my room. We need another man, of course. But you see, even when this passion hits you, don't just think that everything opens up and it's skip to the loo, my darling, right into the double portion. It's not skip to the loo, my darling, into the double portion. It doesn't just come that way. There's resistance. Even God tries you. That's right. Elijah represents Christ. Even the Son of Man will try you. You really want this? I'm going on. How about you? I ain't going to leave you. Some say, well, if you're going on, maybe you're going on somebody, maybe somebody else, stuff like that, and they get left behind. But if you really want something from Jesus, then you better lay hold. And don't be surprised if you go to prayer. You know, this is a wonderful stirring thing. You get all stirred up, and 2 days from now, you go to seek the double portion, and the heavens are brass. You feel like all the thugs of the demonic empire are lined up against you, and you try to go, double portion. Huh? You can't even say, I love you. You're bound. There's a resistance. And that's where many men quit. And that's where Elisha didn't quit. Who received the double portion? Now, he said in verse 3 and verse 5, started too late. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Now we talked about this. These are sons of the prophets. These are other men of God. These are ministers and elders. These are men of God. But he had a different vision. And many know it's going to be a lot of rain. And many know there's going to be miracles. And many know that God's going to visit the earth and it's going to be a last day revival. And we can sing and dance, praise God. God's going to visit. Oh, the latter rain is coming. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's coming. He's coming, brother. Oh, glory. He's coming. And his name is from, also his father's name means meadow of dancing. So this man danced before the Lord, so I'm not saying anything against that. It's interesting that's in there. He danced with joy at the coming of God. You know that. But he didn't stop there. He didn't stop there. He said, hold ye your peace. Circumstances, well-meaning brethren, you've got a passion to see God come upon the scene a certain way, and you're going to seek God until He does. You're not going to quit no matter what the resistance, for you see God's heart for your church, God's heart for the people, and you're going to commit yourself till you get through for all. And you've got to be willing to say, hold ye your peace in your heart. Hold your peace. I know it, but that's not enough. And we cannot revel in what we know. Okay. He said it again in verse 5. They said in verse 5, same thing, and he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And another key phrase is, as you read in verse 6, and they too went on. And they too went on. In verse 8, and they too went over on dry ground. And verse 10, I believe, it says, and they too went on still. And they went on still. And so there's going to be a holy independence that's going to set a man apart to be willing to confer not with flesh and blood until God came upon the scene. And many men have failed right there. Don't expect a crowd all around you. Now, if you knew of one man who was about 13 minutes from the double portion right now, be something, wouldn't it? 13 minutes away, soul travail breaks and double portion comes. Now, if I knew that man, and God, and it would help if I went over to him, I'd get him over Jordan. Let's get him over Jordan. We've got to have somebody who goes over Jordan and comes back over to heal the church in the power of God. Isn't that right? But you have to be independent of the shadow. Suppose the pastor deviated from his vision. You've got to have a conviction of the call of God upon this work and the call of God of the church and the call of God of the lost. You've got to have a conviction in your soul that will not quit in resistance, that will go right on through with faith and the knowledge of the goodness of Almighty God. You've got to have that. He knew God loved. He knew God loved. He knew it. And he was going to keep seeking God until God loved through him, until God loved through everyone. He wanted Israel to know that God loved them. His ministry was primarily acts and interpositions of mercy and goodness and healing. Healing the water so they can drink it. Healing the Word of God. Healing the church. Bringing life. At the end of his life, he's stamping the hours down, full of faith in the goodness of God. Live victorious. Victorious. Now, I'm going to look briefly at the place that he came to this morning. So you must be willing to be one of they too. Not be concerned if no one else is, for there many are in that individual place anyway. But individually, they're going to be met by God. Now, let's read this. We're going to look at all four places. One must be willing to set himself apart, and one must be willing to come to Gilgal. Now, Gilgal was the first stopping place of Israel after they entered Canaan, a place to tarry before they set off on conquest of inheritance, the place of circumcision of all the males born in the wilderness. And we know that circumcision speaks of the separation from the world, of consecration unto God, the knife's application to the flesh, the cutting off of the old life, and the rolling away of the reproach of Egypt. And today, as you look upon the church world, it looks like the reproach of Egypt has been rolled back on. And God must affect Elisha at Gilgal. So young men, if you're feeling the heart of God because the reproach of Egypt is rolled back in your life in some ways and others, you must be affected there first. You must be affected. Now the message of Gilgal, I don't have time to go into it, but in 1 Samuel 15, that was the place where the prophet said rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as idolatry. And that was the place where Samuel hacked Agag in pieces before the Lord. And you and I must come to a place in our life where every single Agag gets hacked in pieces before the Lord. That you don't leave nothing left, and you've got to experience that ruthlessness and that desire to rid sin and every foul, worldly, demonic thing out of your life and hack it in pieces before the Lord. Now, Bethel means the house of God. And this is where Jacob had the dream of the angels descending upon the ladder, the Son of Man. And God must bring you and I into that revelation of the angels descending upon the Son of Man. And it's at that place where he received the hallowed revelation of God, the place of magnifying of the Son of Man in the church of God, our eyes being opened to see those angels descending ascending upon him. Upon him. It was the place of the solemn vow. It was a holy place. It was the place of intimate communion with God. He didn't know God was there. And many in the church world don't know God is there. So therefore, God would have you and I to be affected that they don't know that he's so near. And that it's a hallowed, holy, wonderful, awesome relationship that's upon the Son of Man and revealed to the Son of Man. Till we come into that place with him, until we know Jesus and we're one with his Father. See, that must happen too. He saw the need for that, personally and collectively. Now, he didn't stay there like Peter wanted them to do, build three tabernacles, because at the bottom of the mount was a demon-possessed man. So you and I can't stay here every day, every hour of our life, in that intimate love relationship with the Son of Man, just there. There's a demon-possessed man at the bottom of the mount. And Jesus said, we're going down. Because his heart was to heal and to help. What God is doing in you in the revelation of him will bring forth yet more of the revelation of him to others. Now, I wanted to read this because I think it will really minister to you. 1 Kings chapter 12, especially those that have studied somewhat in this area. Another thing happened at Bethel, and that was this. Under the reign of Jeroboam, when the nation was divided, 10 tribes went north. And 10 tribes of the 12 have gone north. They're not near Jerusalem. They're far from Jerusalem. 10 tribes and most of Israel has gone north. And they built false worship of Yahweh, golden calves, at Dan and Bethel. And at Bethel, they also instituted an idolatrous new order of priestly teaching. Read about it. I'll read it. And he made a house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. The men who were supposed to bring the word of God in all of its pureness and integrity, teaching line upon line, precept upon precept, making sure that word of God was lined up, that heart manifested right in Dan this morning, making sure it's not in error. The devil has set up another priesthood, another class of teachers in the church, and you have been called to Bible college to learn the word of God, that ye might be those that bring pureness of doctrine, bring the holy, undefiled, untampered with word of God. So if you're wondering why you're in Bible college, see your vision. Another thing that he did is he moved the Feast of Tabernacles from the 7th month and the 15th day to the 8th month and the 15th day. And that's exactly what's being done out there with the hope of the church. It's being moved up. It's being moved away. You see? All this is happening now. So these teachers and these students, you're to be affected by the need of the hour to receive the endowment from God, to be able to bring forth pure doctrine, pure word, that people might come out of the 10 and go to Jerusalem into that bridal relationship. These men, some of these men that Satan is using, or just that in a place of confusion, God still needs to bring truth, to bring life, to bring deliverance, to save, to heal. And therefore, you need to know this word of God and see your vision to help these men of God and to help the church world and to learn God's word. This is what happened there. A new priesthood. Now, he had to go to Jericho. And Jericho is the place, I'm going to read this, Joshua chapter 5. Okay. Verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose the shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Jericho is the place where God's men meet God. Jericho is the place where the holiness of Almighty God meets the ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the shoes come off the feet. And men bow before God, call, and the flimsiness and the carelessness leaves, and there's a reverence and obeisance, a holy place in God that comes under the men who carry the gospel and the word of God. It was in Jericho that the people were one with their leaders. It was in Jericho where they got the blueprint from heaven, and the people followed the blueprint given to Joshua. And it's in that place, young man, old man, that you and I become one with the work of God and the blueprint given to the oversight over us. It's in that place, and you must be affected when you see a church being built not according to the blueprint. And so you go on your face before God to seek Him. Okay. It was there that Achan hid that gold, remember? And it was there that God's curse came upon that city and said, don't ever build up these things which I curse again. And throughout the church world, the devil has built up those things. But God said, don't ever build them up again. They're cursed. They're cursed. And all the Achans have multiplied. And God would rid it. Make His church holy. Now Jordan, through the desire of God of Israel, the desire of the God of Israel to be with Israel was so in his heart that he finally asked a question when he got over Jordan. Let's read that, 2 Kings 2. Verse 9, it said, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Everywhere this man goes, someone's giving him a hard time. Elijah's giving him a hard time. The sons of the prophets are giving him a hard time. The devil's giving him a hard time. Then he asks a noble question, and God says, and Elijah says, that's a hard thing. And this poor guy, you know, I might as well just give up. I said, all right, I mean, I'm all the way over Jordan now. Give me a break. My heart's for God, you know. I mean, I want Him saved, you know. What's holding this thing up? What's holding this thing up? A hard thing. Boy, but he didn't quit. And look what he did. And it came to pass, he said, if you keep your eyes on me. Verse 11, and it came to pass as they still went on. And that's the revelation. And talked. And that's another part of it. In other words, if you're after something from Jesus to bless His people and bless His heart, you keep your eyes right on Jesus. If He'd kept His eyes off Elijah, He would never see him go. So what He did, He put His eyes right on Elijah. And He just looked at him. And He kept talking with him. He stayed in that place of communion. They went on Jordan, beyond the Jordan, a ways. So don't you and I quit if it hasn't come yet. It might be a little while. Don't quit until it comes. Don't quit. He was consumed. Now the double portion means to burst the womb first. And I feel in this hour that there are those that God wants to use to burst the womb first in miracle healing. That God wants to use certain of you to burst the womb first in displays of His Spirit, of His deliverance, of His love, of His authority, of His message, of His teaching. He wants to burst the womb first with this church. He wants this church to break out of the womb, maybe ahead of other churches. Shouldn't scare you. Nothing to be proud of, but it's something to be moved into. And I believe in this hour that God is calling us to burst the womb first, to come out first and to be willing before God to do that. Now in verse 15, we read, and when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. He asked the question, and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the God who loves Israel so much that He's there on display? Where is the God of Israel? Where is the one who loves with an everlasting love? I am not willing to see them stay in the wheelchairs. I am not willing to see them stay without the clothing of the word, of the Spirit of God upon the Word. I am not willing to let them be where they are. I want You to show that You are the God I believe You to be. I know that You love them. I know that You care. I know Your heart, Father. I know this the way You feel. Where are You? Where are You? Where are You? I know You're coming. I'm giving You my life. I want to go to Gilgal. I want to be affected. I'm laying myself before You. I'm opening up my heart before You. I just want You to move. I can't stand to see You not upon the scene. I can't stand to see these revelations just stuck here. I want it to go worldwide, Lord. I want it to be there and there. I want to see the harvest. I want to be in the feast, oh God. See, He didn't quit. He kept crying out and crying out and crying out. And though there was resistance, and though there were demons, and though there were brethren, he said, oh God, visit. Oh God, visit. Oh God, visit. I'll do my part. Whatever you want. It wasn't always eloquent. It wasn't always beautiful. He didn't always know exactly what to do. A lot of times he walks. Should I walk? Should I stand? What should I do? What should I do? Oh God, just visit him. The heart he had within him propelled him to Gilgal, propelled him to Bethel, propelled him to Jericho. It propelled him and propelled him until finally God could give him something to help his people. And you and I have to be that same way. You can't sit by idly anymore. You and I can't sit idly by and watch these things happen. You and I have got to be affected, oh Lord. We've got to be affected by these things. God has chosen this church. God's Spirit has come upon this people to bring forth this Spirit in the earth to help people. Isn't that what he's done? You and I can't sit idly by. You can't look to another person. You can't listen to the sons of the prophets. Don't be tempted by these things. You've got to say, my God, I love you. I know you love. I know you want to breathe. I know you do. You can't fool me. You don't want no more Lazarus in the tombs. You don't want this sheep lost, God. You want the coin, the image brought back. You want the son to come home. God, I know you do. I know you do. I know you do. And you've got to stay there. And you might just stay there. God might take you there and take you there and show your love display. And you love to be something and you love to be that. You just try your best to keep going on until God visits the earth. See, he wanted God to be upon the scene. Not his might, not his power, not just words, not just theology. It doesn't matter. It's the Son of Man coming back over Jordan to visit his people. He went away to come back again. See, God cares so much that you and I enter into his heart, into the way he feels, that we be immersed in that thing. So everything gets different there. You see, I could care less. I told God, when God fused me to this work, I said, you can do anything now. I don't even know what you're going to do now. I just love you. I love the people. I don't know what's happened. I want this work to go forward. I don't know what you do. But oh, God. I said, what do you do? So he gives me something to do now, you know. But that's, you know, I don't even care. I don't even care. It's like, what can one man do? What can one man do? It's got to be one collective people. Oh, with that dazzling, brilliant light of Jesus Christ pouring out of them so we can feast upon God. How long will we go? Just one man here, a little Branham here, a man there. God wants a feast for his church. God wants the world. There's one channel this world hasn't turned on yet, and that's the channel of heaven. They haven't turned on God yet. They'll turn on the Seahawks, and they'll turn on everything else. But when they turn on Almighty God, when he comes, I'll tell you, everything will go out the window. Everything will go out the window. And they'll sit there and see God. They'll come weeping. They'll come broken. They'll come into the arms of a Savior. They'll come into the arms of a Savior. And that's God's heart for you this hour. That's God's heart for you. Man, don't sit idly by. Don't sit idly by. Don't, well, it's him, it's him. Be affected. Be affected and come back over Jordan. Come back over into the church, weeping into the teeth of this generation. When the teeth are like that, come in and hug them. I told you that story, and it's the last thing I'll say. I told you that story about that brother, that minister that fell in believing God, was his wife was smitten with insanity. And that man was mad at God, torn up in his life. He said, I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit. And he went out and bought a fifth of whiskey. And this was Elisha's ministry. And this is your ministry. And he went out and bought a fifth of whiskey. And he was, I'm through with you, God. I preached for years. My wife's in a insane asylum now. I can't go on. You've let me down. And he was going to go to, he put the kids to bed and prayed a prayer, stayed religious. Then he went out for that fifth. And there came a knock at the door. And he opened up that door, and a brother walked in that door. And he walked up with that man and put his arms around that man and just hugged him and wept for 15 minutes. Wept for 15 minutes. That man said the bitterness, the hurts, the confusion, the pressure left. And I felt loved again. I knew God was with me again. I was clear in my head again. And that's the way they'll like out there, brethren. That's the way they'll like. Can't you see them through God's eyes? They're in that place. They'll go for the fifth. God can't have some legalist looking down his nose at them. God needs somebody to come with the hug of God, will you? Don't be so quick. Just come with the hug of God. You'd be surprised what it'll do. These people, they're going for the fifth. They don't have any hope, but you're the hope. So I just pray this morning. The devil really must have battled me a little bit in this world, and that's too bad, you rotten snake. God has to have his way anyway. Give me a hard time this morning. Rotten devil. Rotten devil. But the winds don't blow anyway. Praise God. Because I know it. I love my God. And I see the need in my church. And I see the need in the world. And all I know is God knit us together. Make us one, God, in your heart. So we can be behind one another, fused to one another, pushing to one another. And then we sit back and live the feast. Sit back and just enjoy the feast until our turn comes. Just be willing to be the cog in the wheel God wants you to be. Just be willing to be the vessel God wants you to be. But don't come back over unless you have a double portion of his spirit. I love you.